Greetings, dear friends, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unto you who believe, he is precious. And listening friend, I want to ask you today, be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. You can't see me face to face, so just be honest with yourself and God. Is he really precious to you? Or is church just someplace you go on Sunday? I mean, is the Lord Jesus real to you? Do you know him as a real vital part of your life? Do you know him as an individual who keeps companionship with you day by day, moment by moment, hour by hour? Do you really practice the presence of Christ in your midst? He said, "Lo, I'm with you always. I'll never leave you." You know, he said it, and I believe him in it. Praise God, he's here with me even as I'm talking to you. And to have a wrong view about the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, hey, friend, it's to have a wrong view about everything else throughout the universe. If you're out of tune to Christ, you're off key with everything and everybody. If you're off center to the Lord Jesus, the whole world is out of focus. And if things aren't going right with you, perhaps it's because things aren't right between you and God, between you and the Lord Jesus. Continuing today in Colossians chapter 3, we're going to have to skip over those first four verses again. We touched them several broadcasts ago, and they're so full, so packed with truth that we can revel in and rejoice in and saturate ourselves in. It describes our position, our union with Christ, both in the blessed now and the blessed hereafter. Some fellow was once quoted as saying he wasn't interested in the sweet by and by, just the sweet now and now. Well, let me tell you, I'm interested in the sweet by and by, because I already have a reservation by the grace of God through the blood of Christ to be there with the Lord Jesus forever. Not only so, I'm interested in the sweet now and now, because day by day, it's the privilege of every true believer to walk hand in hand with the living God, the Lord Jesus. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Hallelujah, friends. He's inside of those of us who belong to him. But so much for what we see in these first four verses. After that, the apostle, as God the Holy Spirit inspired him, begins to speak to us, the Colossians of their day and Christians of today. All of us are taught in these next few verses, 5 through 17, what it means to live for Christ. Now, let me tell you something. I've been saved close to 30 years, not quite, going on 30 years. And I find that I am no more capable of living the Christian life, listen carefully, in my own strength than I was when God first saved me by his grace. The secret is, I use the expression in my own strength, because none of us can live the Christian life in our own strength. The only way we can live for God and live for Christ and live to his glory is by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. We read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can do all things in him that strengthens me. And without him, we also read elsewhere, we can do nothing. So, friend, the secret is allowing the Spirit of the living God to control and motivate and then empower you to live for his glory. And when that is the case, then the truth taught in 5 to 17 of Colossians 3 can be carried out. As verse 5 says, we can mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And he gives you this long, ugly list. And he says, for which sake the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience. And he reminds us in verse 7 that before our conversion, before our entrance into the family of God, before our experience with the Lord Jesus when he cleansed us by his blood and made us new creatures in Christ and fitted us to be his ambassadors and called us by his name, Christian. Ooh, let me tell you, it's a privilege to use the name Christian. Say, yes, I'm a Christian. I have to admit with you that many people who use the name do not have God's legal authority to do so. They think because they're Americans or because they're church members, because they're religious, because they do unto others, so they say they can call themselves Christians. Not so. You have to be born into the family of God. My name is Phelan. Unless you were born a Phelan, or perhaps some of you ladies married a Phelan, you don't have any right to that name. Now, whatever your name is, I don't have any right to call myself for that name. That's not what I am. And so it is when it comes to the Christian name. Praise God. I have a right to to that name, because on the 10th of September, 1947, I was born again into the family of God. Yes, friend of mine, I'm a Christian. I am a child of the King. And I just hope that you too have God's official authority, His biblical authority, for calling yourself after Him, one who is a Christian. But let's press on. And then he also tells us in verse 8 that we are to put off all of these things. And he lists this wicked list that starts with anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and builds on up till filthy communication comes out of the mouth. Oh, friend, how often have you allowed your mouth to bring forth that which is not to the glory of God? Well, we read in the Scripture, the tongue can no man tame, and that's true. You can't tame yours, and I can't tame mine, but God can tame them all. Yield our bodies to God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. In Romans chapter 6, we're taught to yield our members as instruments under righteousness. When our hands and our feet and our eyes and our minds and our tongues are yielded to Him, they can be used for His glory. In Romans 12, we read about a living sacrifice. Someone has said the trouble with a living sacrifice, it keeps crawling off the altar. And we have to keep saying, Lord Jesus, again, I submit, I surrender myself to you. But then we touch on verse 9, and there he gives us some important truth. Lie not. Here we have the tongue once more. Verse 8, he talks about filthy communication coming out of the mouth. Now he says, lie not one to another. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Christians. Seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Here again, the apostle is saying in effect, let your state be consistent with your standing. Let the way you live be consistent with the position that you have in Christ. You have put off the old man. Now put him off practically by refraining from telling lies. Lying is one of the things that belongs to the old man. This is what we call the Adamic nature, or the nature that each of us got from Adam because of our natural birth. Wherefore is by one man sin into the world, and death by sin, so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But lying, the habits, the nature of the old man have no part with the new life of the child of God. Every day in our lives, we're tempted to distort the truth. We're so hard on the politicians, the political people, because they're guilty so many times of twisting. Even the news media, we find it guilty of hedging or twisting or making it come out like they would like for it to sound. But listen, let's be just as hard, if not harder, on ourselves, those of us who belong to Christ. It may be by withholding information on an income tax, or by cheating on an examination if you happen to be a student, or by exaggerating the details of a story. Lying becomes doubly serious when we injure another person by a false statement or by creating a false impression. You know, it's not always what we say. Sometimes it's because of what we don't say. It's because of the lack of what was said. We might say something that and then just stop short and leave a wrong impression. Lie not, child of God, one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Why? Because of what we used to be out of Christ, and because of what we now are in Christ, because of the position we have now, and the potential we have for eternity. Oh, I've said it before. Christianity is not for today only, not for the hereafter only. It's for today as well. There's nothing to me that is any more exciting and thrilling and satisfying than simply being a child of God. All people say, what kind of a Christian are you? Meaning what denomination? Listen, I find it enough just to be a Christian. I find all my satisfaction in the Lord Jesus. In fact, we read further on down in this chapter, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Friend, I want to ask you today, there it is in verse 17. I want to be sure I found it. Whatever you do, in word or deed, no matter if it's your conduct or your language, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So I don't find it necessary to take on another name to identify me with some particular group of Christians or to separate me from the other mainstream body of true believers. I find that the Lord Jesus Christ was all it took to save me. When he had by himself purged my sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. And listening, friend, I find that since his grace was enough and his blood was enough, his church is sufficient for a place of fellowship. I don't find it necessary to add any name than to the name that he has given me the right to use, the name of his child, a believer, a Christian, a child of the King. Whatsoever, just like whosoever will may come, whatsoever you do, in word or deed, are you listening, friend? Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, not in the name of the church, not in the name of the denomination, not in the name of some cause that you want to further. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus and give thanks to God and the Father by him. But let's look at verse 10 before all of our time has gone. And having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Not only have we put off the old man, that old nature that we were born with when we were physically born into this world, but we have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him who created him. Just as the old man refers to all that we were as sons of Adam with an unregenerate nature, so the new man refers to our new position, praise God, as the children of God. There has been a new creation, and we are you listening? New creatures in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any woman be in Christ, if any young person be in Christ, they are new creatures, new creation from the very hand of God. God's purpose is that this new man should be ever growing more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a son that resembles me quite a bit. And just today, I was in a business office. I introduced my son. And the man looked at us and laughingly said, "Well, I'm glad you told me. I never would have known it." He and I look a lot alike. And friend of mine, so it is with those of us who are in Christ. We are to look more and more like the Lord Jesus every day we live. We are to spend time with him in his word, time with him in prayer, not physically, of course, but in the way in which we live, in the way in which we relate to other people. Our love for the lost and our love for the children of God, the family of God, our love for those who are all about us should cause others to see more in us like the Lord Jesus, his attributes, his character, his quality, than they saw in us the day before. We should never be satisfied with our present attainments, but should always press on to the goal of increasing conformity to the Savior. God is love. Christ is God. So, friend, they ought to be able to see the love of God in our lives. He's our example. He's the rule of our lives. And in a coming day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and incidentally, that's where Christians stand, Christians will not be at the great white throne judgment. There's more than one judgment we read about in the Bible. The unbelievers will be in the great white throne and be cast off into that eternal abyss called the lake of fire. But we'll stand at that great judgment seat of Christ, and we'll be judged not by how much better our lives were than others, but rather by how our lives measured up to the Lord Jesus himself. May God give us the desire today to be more like the Lord Jesus than we were yesterday for his own glory. Call us if we can be of any help. May the Lord bless you today.